Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Rob Carter to the broadcast. Rob is Co-Chief Executive Officer and Chief Information Officer of FedEx Corporate Services. Rob is responsible for setting the technology direction of the FedEx applications, infrastructure, networks, and data centers that provide around-the-clock and around-the-globe support for FedEx product offerings. He's a member of the five-person executive committee, which plans and executes the corporation's strategic business activities. Rob was named to Fortune Magazine's Executive Dream Team, and he was also ranked 18th on Fast Company Magazine's 100 Most Creative People in Business in 2010. He received Information Week Magazine's Chief of the Year Award in 2000, 2001, and 2005. He's also a seven-time recipient of CIO Magazine's CIO 100 Award and was a charter inductee into the publication's CIO Hall of Fame. Rob is a member of the Saks Incorporated and First Horizon National Corporation's boards of directors. He earned his bachelor's degree in computer and information science from the University of Florida and his master's degree from the University of South Florida. I recently spoke with Rob by phone in his office in Memphis, Tennessee, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as Rob spoke about the methods he's used to engage all of FedEx, as well as the advantages he has garnered from being on corporate boards, both for himself and for his work at FedEx, among a variety of other topics. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open-source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com. Rob Carter, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Well, thank you, Peter. Pleasure to be here today and to join you for this cool set of topics in this interesting forum.
Oh, it's a great pleasure of mine, certainly. Well, Rob, I wanted to talk a little bit about your background, your career. You're now 20 years at FedEx and the various roles and responsibilities that you have. You are a leader who, in some ways, learned early on about how strategic the CIO position really can be. I think that to some extent, CIOs at a variety of industries are recognizing what you learned very early, and that is businesses are run on information and on data and insights that can be gleaned from each. And I wonder, was there a point at which this idea kind of gelled completely in your head when you became that kind of leader who could convey to the rest of the organization as to the value that could be driven through the information technology?
I don't think it became totally apparent to me until I came to FedEx. And FedEx is a pretty special place when it comes to applied technology. Our chairman and founder, Fred Smith, said all the way back in 1978 that the information about the package is as important as the package itself. Now, that was way before my time here, but really was kind of the basis of a culture that said, information really matters as you want to strategically scale a business, and pretty much the backbone of how we operate the company to deliver 10 million plus packages a day, as well as how we interface with our customers, is just all technology based. We have wonderful people that do an incredible job for our customers, but the tools that they use to make sure that things are working smoothly and that nothing's being overlooked, and the tools that we use to interface with our customers are all pretty deep technology that are just sit there kind of at the pulse of the business.
As you think about your time with the organization and also as you look forward, what are some of the things that excite you in terms of the future of technology? Are there certain trends that you're particularly keen to leverage as you look forward 2, 3, 4 years in advance?
I think it's a great question, and I hope I don't go too deep on this, but the basis of civilization has always been about networks. From the earliest gatherings where specialization began to occur, it was roadway systems and market systems where people lived and traded along roads and with lanes. that allowed people to aggregate and to settle in with a little bit of specialization. Well, I have this view of the world that viable networks always expand. So we live in a world where the most basic networks of roadways and routes and the connections of commerce and people on the planet are continuing to expand at an incredible rate. But FedEx is the tale of two networks. You know, we not only have the huge physical network that we run that lights up possibilities for markets and capabilities around the world for our customers, but we have a digital overlay that sits on top of that that provides the evidence and information about what's going on in that physical world in a near real-time basis. And I say all that to say that the most exciting things going on in the world have to do with that exact phenomenon, the tale of two networks. The world, we know it, and it's all the stuff and atoms out there that represent people and places and things. But in our modern era here, we have this digital overlay that does an incredibly good and increasingly good job of representing that physical world, you know, with a kind of a mirror that says, here's what's going on out there. And so I get very excited about the potential that gets activated in a digital world. It's a little bit frightening from time to time because it's so intense, and the big data that swirls around us is something we don't quite know how to deal with yet. But the reality of it is it's a really fascinating time to apply technology and to live in this world with the incredible hyper-connected capabilities that come our way.
As you think about the evolution of IT towards this vision, the tale of two networks and the need for the digital one to enhance and replicate, provide insight to the physical one, how do you see the population of the IT department, and more specifically the skills of the IT department, transitioning or evolving to meet that reality? Are there certain skills that you are amplifying or that you are looking to add to your team that would not have been as pertinent or relevant or perhaps even available in years past to reach this reality that you've just described?
I think so, but I'll probably give you a non-traditional answer. I'll probably give you a non-traditional answer for everything you ask. But the history, and I've been around information technology now for close to 35 years. I graduated with a computer science degree from the university a long time ago, and I've always loved this space. But in the past, we built these, you know, kind of large, what I'll call vertical infernal machines that kind of had this deep set of integrations and capabilities. We called them applications, and we still do, and it's appropriate. But the new skill set and what the digital native was so capable of recognizing is that we live now not in a giant vertical of applied technology, but in a world where you tap into the resources and capabilities you need. You tap into infrastructure. You tap into network. And even tap into services that represent themselves as software. And so the new skill set is much more of an assembly skill set than a giant vertical build. And that's a paradigm shift for many IT professionals. It's really critical to kind of snap into a world that completely accepts and endorses this tap into phenomenon of going and getting the resources and capabilities you need and assembling them in unique ways that are now called applications. That's a horizontal piece of work, not a big vertical piece of work. And so I call it tipping the model over. You know, we've got to tip it over on its side and kind of move along in a horizontal way and tap into the things we need from compute resource to the network to the software services and put them together in unique apps and applications that serve our businesses or serve a unique need in the world.
You've had a variety, as I mentioned before, a variety of roles in addition to CIO. You were also recently the CEO of FedEx Corporate Services. And I wonder, as you've contemplated these added responsibilities and as the corporation, generally speaking, has thought about these corporate services as a group to build out, can you talk a bit about that evolution of aggrandizing your responsibilities and the value that you and the company got out of having a single person responsible for a broader set of capabilities across the organization?
What I'll talk to you about, Peter, is kind of the ebb and flow of that because it hasn't remained static. There was a period of time about 10 years ago where the shared services component of our business here at FedEx was taking on increasing importance, whether that was sales or customer service or marketing or IT. And that shared service capability was something that we began to build from the acquisitions and from the various lines of business here at FedEx into a common way that we would interface with our customers. From a world where we had many different customer service and CRM capabilities and the websites weren't consistent, the technology that we interfaced with our customer, we pulled all that into a shared services environment, and that environment thrives to this day. And I'm still the co-CEO of that business, but there was a long period of time in there where I ran customer service and I ran revenue operations, and I was the chairman of Kinko's, now FedEx office, and had a lot of those things going on. But frankly, and I think my business partners here certainly recall this way, and my team members as well, but I really got to the point where I felt like it was more important for me in this business. I'm not sure about in every business, but in this business, the information technology was just so important that I went to my co-CEO business partner. I said, you ought to take this stuff. You know, you ought to take this other stuff, focus on it as from the business side, and then I will be your partner from the technology side, because virtually nothing here happens without technology support. And so our roles became much clearer, and there was less, you know, all businesses have friction in any kind of vertical parts of the org, and this was an org design that actually worked better. So I gave that stuff back to my business partners, Peter, and did it with my eyes wide open and saying, you know, I add the most value in this business by helping architect the information solutions that are an important undergirding for most everything we do. And it's hard work. It's not something that you wind up with a bunch of spare time on your hands doing. It's tough. And so I can tell you now, for the last 4 years, I've been solely focused back on IT. Now, I'm a member of the strategic management committee here at the company. I report into, you know, one of the great business leader entrepreneurs of our time, Fred Smith, and always have as part of his team. So I have a lot of exposure to the business, and Fred is a master at, and has since the days of Jim Barksdale being the CIO here at FedEx, given the CIO a seat at the table since way before it was cool. So I don't want to say I'm removed from the business. I'm day-to-day integrated with the business and my business partners, but my focus and where I apply my time and energy is delivering technology for our customers and for our business.
I know that you've also joined the board of multiple organizations, Saks Incorporated, First Horizon National Corporation. Board level access for chief information officers has not necessarily been happening to a great degree, at least in recent history, in history generally speaking, and yet you are somebody who has set a bit of a trend there. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your initial foray into board membership and what these organizations were looking for that you helped fill in during the initial stages of your relationships with these organizations.
One of the really fun things that I get to do, and fun is, you know, an interesting word, I guess, to use, because board work is pretty hard work and it comes with a lot of challenges, especially if you're dealing with financial services these days or all of the time with Saks. And it's never been easy, but to me, it's just a wonderful immersion into different parts of the business. So the first thing I'll say is that as a business executive, my company supported me in that. You know, there are many companies that are kind of ambivalent or even negative on board seats for key executives. Fred has always been very supportive of it, and I tell you, I've learned more than I've given from these boards. You know, I learn about their business, and it's like getting a PhD in various lines of business, things that I didn't have experience with, all of whom are big customers of ours, by the way, the retail sector and the financial services sector, a huge FedEx customer, so I learned more about what it means to sit on their side of the table. I think those boards were future-sighted and had the foresight to recognize that information technology is something that the board has to pay attention to. I mean, whether it's e-commerce and an explosion of new business models around e-commerce, and both of those boards have had massive transformations to support e-commerce and omni-channel ways of doing business, and they've had to, or they would become irrelevant in today's world. In addition to that, there's an awful lot of IT risk that swirls around us in this world, whether it's compliance risk or cyber risk. We've come through an era where people are, regulatory agencies are certainly recognizing at an increasing pace that the systems matter a lot with regard to the controls of a company. So whether you're talking about an audit committee or just having some expertise on the board, and I can tell you, I think these companies, and I don't want to sound proud or arrogant about it, but I think they've gotten a lot from having someone on the board who's an information technology expert who can kind of probe. And, you know, as a director, you don't manage a company. You advise, you work with the management team. And so I've enjoyed it. I've learned more than I've given, but I think I have given back to these companies some expertise that I think is going to become increasingly important to boards. And, you know, we at our company have a number of IT experts that sit on our board and always have, and even having a formal committee, probably one of just a handful of corporations in the Fortune 100 or 500 or any level you want to put on it that have a specific committee dedicated to information technology and its implementation. And we have some terrific board members who are really capable with regard to strategizing with me about key information technology capabilities that we have and that we'll need and that we need to consider.
Tell me this, is the lack of IT talent or the lack of CIOs more specifically, not speaking of CEOs of tech-centric organizations, sitting on boards more of a reflection of a lack of a certain kind of skill set among the CIO community, generally speaking, or more of a lack of understanding of some of the things that clearly Saks, First Horizon National Corporation, and FedEx all do recognize in valuing having somebody with those perspectives on the board?
It's a little bit of both, Peter. I think, you know, one of the things, and I count whatever success I've had to a fairly early recognition that you have to develop a language and an ability to communicate with your business partners around IT that doesn't alienate them, doesn't make them feel awkward. So since way before I came to FedEx, my career was probably most supported on a basis of, you know, really being committed to speaking carefully to my business partners in ways that would engage them in the process of technology delivery and technology implementation. Because as I sit here now many years into a career of applied technology, the one thing that I know for sure, and it's the only critical success factor that I've seen to be a 100% indicator of success, is that when you can get into a situation where the business and IT are pulling together and equally motivated to deliver capabilities, all you have to do as an IT executive is get out of the way and watch really good things happen. However, when you feel what is frankly far too typical in the world of applied technology and CIO and IT shops, this kind of tension-based those guys and you guys and kind of a lack of trust and a lack of common language and a lack of, as soon as you feel that kind of friction, you have to run straight at that because it's getting ready to come off the rails and be difficult and behind and over budget and everything else. So all of that to say that the critical construct that I think is most often missing from IT executives is that real passion to be a business partner. And I don't mean to treat the business just like a customer with an order pad in your hand and saying, what would you like for me to do for you? I mean real business partnership, common language, common goals, common desire to make good things happen for the business, not for technology's sake. And that's what gets that's what makes for a good director as well, is someone who can speak the language of the business as well as translate the language of technology in ways that keep it relevant and don't alienate people.
This sounds like such sound advice for those who might be interested in following in your footsteps and making sure they're taking care of those initial building blocks of developing the kind of relationships within their own companies and thus then establishing the kind of success where they might be asked by some external company to be a member of the board. As you reflect on your experience and all that has led you to be a board-level chief information officer and IT executive, more wisdom that you might impart upon those who might wish to emulate your experience?
I feel fortunate to have had the opportunities that I've had, so I don't want to make it sound like I did it all, because it's some of it is just good fortune, and I pinch myself every day to get to do this job because I consider it kind of the best job in business technology implementation, at least for me, that I would ever want to, you know, want to go do. So I'm very content, but I'm also not complacent. Those things can look the same sometimes. Complacency and contentment contentment is a wonderful place to be. Complacency is a lousy place to be. So I mean, you always have to strive. You always have to engage and learn new things. That's why being a director is fun to me, but it's also why I throw myself out and I support our sales team. We have an optional program here at FedEx where you can adopt a sales territory. And so I adopted the Golden Gate territory out on the West Coast, and regularly for the last 12 years immerse with our salespeople into that world and into the startup world and innovation world that is Silicon Valley and that incredible engine out there. Now, there are other places you could go do that. But my point being, you know, you've got to find places you can plug into that help open up ideas and open up your way of thinking about what's possible with technology and what's possible to drive your business forward. And that's what I mean by not being complacent. Don't just stay insular. Don't stay inside the business. I leave for Recife, Brazil to go visit one of our newest acquisitions in Brazil here in a few days, and can't wait to be boots on the ground in Brazil and in Chile, you know, and watch the business. I travel to all of our locations, whether it's Vietnam or Kuala Lumpur or Recife, to feel the pulse of the business out there, to immerse and engage. So all those are just advice points about don't sit back and be insular. And I know this is too many words, but I'll finish on this. One of the things that I see my peers do is completely stiff arm the quote vendor world that's out there. And to be honest with you, the vendor world, the people that are building tools that help drive technology forward inside of businesses, are really important relationships to have. And you can't just sit back and say no to everyone. Now, obviously, you can waste your time, you know, by having your calendar completely full of everybody who wants to walk a dog for a buck. But it is important to engage with key providers of technology and even key new entrants into those worlds to understand what's going on out there and glean through that and figure out how best to apply it for your business.
Rob Carter, thank you so much for taking the time today and sharing your insights from what has clearly been a fascinating career and, as you've just mentioned, a very fulfilling one as well. So we appreciate taking this walk down memory lane as well as projecting forward some of what you see ahead of you on the highway, so to speak, and really do appreciate you taking this time.
Well, thanks, Peter, and thanks for asking, and thanks for the efforts that you make to make this profession better. Definitely a passion that I have as well.
The Forum on World Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Red Hat believes in the value of a connected ecosystem to inspire innovation for tomorrow. To learn more, visit redhat.com. Listen to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on world-class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy-setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.